going to talk about the church in prayer. The church in prayer, okay? I especially prepared messages, so hopefully more of the church people will be here. I'm sure tomorrow there will be a lot more coming, but Acts chapter 1, okay, Acts chapter 1. I think one of the things I'm thankful that on, I think I checked just now, on Sunday, a lot of the men, I think at least some of them felt that the prayer and fasting was encouraging, and they wanted that it's not just once a year, but probably 3 or 4 times a year. So we're going to do that, Lord willing, next year. We're going to plan for at least 4 times a year. Every quarterly, we will do that. And I think it will be actually even more encouraging. You can do it monthly. All right, once a month, we just set aside a Saturday where we just come and fast and pray. But we thank God for the opportunity to do that as a church. It is so important to pray, and I hope that, you know, sometimes when you have things that happen weekly, you know, annually, you know, it's going to be this way, and so kind of plan my schedule around it. You know, when we first started the prayer retreat, it was a dedicated time. People took leave. There was nothing to distract them. We were all there, and again, the last time was, last time was 4 days, 3 nights. It was 4 days, 3 nights, whereby we actually had time. We actually booked 4 days and 3 nights. And we really prayed, and we thank God for that. But hopefully we will never get tired of praying. Because the moment we get tired of praying, our church will stop growing. Okay? The moment we get tired of praying, we will start losing power. Okay? Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. I'll read verse 12. Then you read verse 13. And then we'll all read 14 together, alright? Just 3 verses. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Does everyone have? Oh, you have? Oh, the children one is inside. Oh, you want to? Oh, anyone? We actually have some children ones here, but it's not related though. If they want to do, probably the Lord's Prayer will be another time. Maybe later lah. During their free time. Coloring, you want them to do also, can? You want coloring? Okay. For parents, we actually have this coloring whereby it's telephone. They're supposed to call God. Okay. The telephone. You dial. Are they over there also? The terming. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's a telephone that you actually call God. Okay. Alright, I'll read verse 12, you read verse 13, then altogether read verse 14. Alright, Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Ready? Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Verse 13. Okay, verse 14 altogether. This all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Okay, let's bow for a word of prayer. Let's pray, Lord. Once again, we come before you. Lord, we want to learn genuine lessons in prayer. Even as in the afternoon session before we went for shopping and stuff, Lord, we learned how in John chapter 16, verse 24, you said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask that ye might receive, that your joy may be full." Father, we learn from that verse how you challenge us to ask big. Lord, that we won't just ask about our health and our exams, but Lord, we'll ask for the future. Things, Father, that we want you to accomplish in our lives. But Lord, we know that these disciples, Lord, took this on. And when in Acts chapter 1, when you left and went back to heaven, Lord, they were together once again in prayer. And Father, it represents for us the early church and what you did in the early church and how the people were in the early church. Father, we pray that our church, Ambassador, will be like the early church where they were so full of love for each other and for you. And they were so full of care and love, Lord, for the things that you told them to do. Lord, we pray right now you speak to us of this church in prayer and help us to learn from them, that we will continue to continually be, Lord, a church in prayer. For your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now just quick quiz, alright? So they don't fall asleep. Okay, Acts chapter 1, what just happened? Quick. Before you read this, what just happened without looking? What just happened? Yeah, I know. But before they returned to Jerusalem, what were they doing? They were hiding. They were praying. What happened? What just happened in Acts chapter 1? Huh? Jesus? Jesus just went back to heaven. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 already. Okay? Jesus has already finished all the work already. Okay? Yeah, they were at the Mount of Olives. It was a final time together with the disciples. And then the disciples saw him ascend up into heaven. Okay? And so, what did they do after that? They went back to Jerusalem to pray. Okay? They went back to Jerusalem to pray. This church was, you'll find that the early church was a church of prayer. I think that is something that we all understand. The early church was a church, a group of people who believed so much in prayer. And they knew that they had to be in prayer, but there was something that they were looking for. Well, why was this church in prayer in Acts chapter 1? Does anyone have any idea? Let's turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 49. Okay, Luke 22, 49. 24, 49, sorry. Luke 24, 49. Jesus actually gave them an instruction. He said, when you see me after I've gone back to heaven, there's one thing I want you to do. Okay? Now let's read Luke 24 and verse 49. Okay, ready? Luke 24, 49, ready? 1, 2, go. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now this was actually a time, I just want to give you a brief background. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on planet earth, he was their power. Does that make sense? He was the power by which the apostles actually executed the jobs that Jesus gave to them. The Lord Jesus Christ was their power. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ was so-called limited in his power because he was, I won't say trapped. He was actually embodied in a body that is limited by time and space. Does it make sense? That means he can only be at one place at one time. And he couldn't be like this place and that place. And so before he left, in John chapter 14 to 16, he told the disciples, I'm going to give you what? The Holy Spirit. And you are going to do much more than what I can do. And we all know the Holy Spirit is God. Okay, the Holy Spirit is God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And you will be given that power to do what you have to do for me. Alright, so in Luke chapter 24 verse 49, this is what Jesus refers to. I will send the promise of the Father upon you, but I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem. And so in Acts chapter 1, you find that the church was actually, after they saw Jesus going back to heaven, went to Jerusalem to wait. Now in this place, of course there are other passages on prayer. I want to highlight the church in prayer. What are some of the characteristics of this church that's in prayer? Okay? Number one, this church was obedient to the Lord's words. Because the Bible said, tarry ye. In Luke 24, 49, and the disciples just basically followed what Jesus said. I will go, we will go and wait at this place that Jesus Christ told us to wait. Okay, they were obedient to the Lord's words. Number two, in this prayer, we find one thing. You look at verse 13. The point I find from there, in this church in prayer, all the church leaders were there. Okay? All the church leaders were there. I was actually counting. You realize all the disciples were there? There were 11 of them. Well, why were there 11? Judas Iscariot went and hanged himself. Okay? Right? All the leaders were there. You count Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Simon Zelotes, and Judas. All the church leaders were there at that prayer meeting. Okay? You know, I was thinking through this. Is this applicable to our context in Singapore? I believe it is because the Bible is definitely relevant to us. But practically, sometimes I know it's hard as well. Okay? And I believe many times the leaders want to come, but they can't because of certain things. But I want us to, we need to pray towards a church that with every prayer meeting, the church leaders are there. Because it's an encouragement to the people. Because when the church leaders know that it is important, and they are there to pray, it's a big encouragement to all the other people. The church in prayer requires the church leaders to be present. And the church leaders are the ones that God... We're talking about leaders, please be very clear. The apostles were very clear. They were the apostles that Jesus Christ was going to send out. But you know, every apostle was a servant. Okay, they were a servant, they were a leader. But God expected people whom He have chosen to do certain ministry to be present. Okay, it is vital. It's very important. Okay, in a church prayer meeting, that leaders be present. Because you represent God in that situation, or in the ministry that you're called to. Okay, so all the church leaders were there, and basically there was only 11. One of them hanged himself because he did wrong. They were going to choose another one, okay, which was Matthias later on. But all the church leaders were there in the prayer meeting. And I hope that even in Ambassador, we will move towards... I know it's hard, but I'm just praying. And I know I cannot force this. The Holy Spirit has to do with His work. That every prayer meeting and the church leaders will be there. And then we work towards that. Okay, this is a goal. This is an ideal that we need to work towards. In this world that's so busy. In this world that we are so distracted by other things. When God gave us a ministry, by God's grace, we will be there. Okay, number three. Number one, they're obedient. Number two, all the church leaders were there. Number three, when you notice the characteristics of a church in prayer. Okay, you look at verse 14. The Bible says, "This all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." Notice firstly, all were present. All the church members were present. How many were there? Can anyone tell me? Huh? Huh? 12? Why 12? Look at the Bible, Acts chapter 1. 11 people were there only? Read in your Bible. I know. How many people were in the meeting? Look. Where? How do you find that? Verse number 15. "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Okay, there were some churches who don't have church membership list. Okay, I was talking to, your mom and brother Samson and sister Salame, and they say that in their church in India, they have no... Do you know that? They don't have church membership list. You just baptize, you join the church, but because they don't have a requirement like we do in ROS. But you know what? It's important for us to get the church membership list. Because the early church had a church membership list. That is interesting. Okay, the Bible actually put it in parentheses. Okay, remember the punctuations in the Bible are not inspired, okay? It was man-made. But it's interesting there that in the sentence structure, it is an explanation of the people, okay? They are there. There were 120 people, and we can see that there were 120 members there in the church at that time, okay? The Bible says, right? Okay, all were present. Okay? Like I say, I want to work towards an ideal. I'm really seriously praying that as ambassador, we'll work towards a church, when a church in prayer, literally a church in prayer, every single member will be there. Every single member will be there. I know sometimes it's hard, but you know what? At least if we have a big part of the church membership that's there in prayer, God can certainly do something. Okay? They were all present. Okay, notice secondly, in these characteristics of prayer, they all continued. The word continued is a very important Greek word that God used. It's all continued. The word continued carries two parts to that meaning. In the Greek, it has the idea of a sense of direction that a group of people is steadfast in. In other words, they are steadfast in a direction. Okay, so when you put this meaning into the verse, it simply means these all with purpose, which is the first one, they all had one purpose, direction, and they were steadfast in that purpose as they prayed. They were steadfast in that purpose as they prayed. Okay? The word continue had the idea of a direction, and they continue. When they continue something, for example, maybe if they're playing soccer, someone, usually when you say, oh, continue doing what you're doing. When you say continue, there's an idea that already the people are doing something. Does that make sense? Continue eating. Continue. Or to be continued. The idea of continue means already there is a direction. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You understand? Joseph, you understand? Sure? You understand? If you can understand, everyone else can understand. Because you're younger. You understand? Okay? So, you understand? Explain to me. Okay, when you say continue in something, it means that something has already started. And then you tell them, oh, you continue, continue. Continue to do your work. Does it make sense? So when the Bible says these all continue, it means they were already in prayer. They already had a direction, but not only are they in a direction, the word continue in the Greek has the idea of being steadfast. They were enduring, they were persevering through in that continuation of prayer. What were they steadfast in? This early church, what were they steadfast in? In the prayer that they were making, what was they steadfast in? What were they looking for? What were they waiting for? They were waiting for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And they were there. How long did they wait? How long did they wait? Huh? No, not so long. How long did they wait? It's correct. 50 days was from the time of Jesus' resurrection to the time of the day of Pentecost. That's 50 days. But the Lord Jesus Christ was already within 40 days. And Jesus says, I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. Okay? They had to wait 10 days. 10 days. They had to wait 10 days. Now I'm very encouraged by our prayer, like for example the fasting and prayer we had. And people would persevere in prayer for an hour or so. But this early church, they waited 10 days. The Bible didn't say that they were all closing their eyes for 10 days. I don't think they did that. Alright? They will probably die because of lack of food. But you know, they continued and they were steadfast in one purpose, and that is to wait for God to send them the promise and the promise of the Holy Spirit to empower them. You realize instead of an ambassador, we're also waiting for the promise. What promise is that? What are some of the things they're waiting for? Sorry, Uncle Ronald? Okay, waiting for Jesus' second coming. Okay, we need to be faithful. What else? More, almost immediate, or maybe short term, that we're waiting for. The church place to come. Okay, so in the light of the church place to come, what are we waiting for? We're waiting for $180,000 to come. Okay, is God able to provide us with $180,000? Absolutely, because God is not poor. We are poor, but God is not. But you know, God can bless us too. And so far, Uncle Roland, what is the count? Okay, it's coming in already. It's coming in already, you know. And we need to learn to pray and really trust God. We are waiting for the promise of the Father. And we need to be steadfast. Especially when times are tough, when times are hard. We are waiting for... What else? What else are we waiting for besides $180,000? Don't always talk in money terms. What other things are we talking about? Huh? What? What else are we waiting for? More souls to join us. How many have we got already? Huh? Okay, okay. Okay, to be clear, our goal, our vision is what? 1,000 souls for Christ. Okay? Must be very clear. The definition of the souls coming in for Christ must be, they must be saved. Alright? Fresh, non-believers, saved, baptized, join the church. Okay? And so far we have 2. Who are they? Sister Jesseline and Sister Sarah. Okay? Saved, baptized, join the church. That is what we're looking for. We're not looking for... We thank God. Okay, one thing, we thank God that we're mentioning in the men's meeting, we have my mom. Okay, potentially in the next few weeks or months, she's beginning to have a better idea of salvation. I realize teaching older folks is a little bit harder because there's so much things that they have already learned in the past, but when you begin to teach them the Bible, it's interesting. Oh, I forgot, I need to share one blessing. You know, I'm following up with mom and this brother Michael, okay? And brother Michael, for the first time when I sat down with him to share him the Bible, the first thing he told me was this. Johnny, I tell you, I have already baptized one time already, as a baby. That is my baptism already. I'm not going to baptize again. I tell you already. Okay? I don't want you to have wrong expectation. So he kind of said everything nicely from the beginning. Okay? And so that was about 4 to 6 weeks ago. Alright? And I was, so in my heart, I would just say, okay, in my heart, I was praying, God changed his heart. Okay? On Tuesday, when I went down to him, this Tuesday, I decided that I was going to have to ask him, because every time, this is how we do Bible study, he will be sitting there, I come, hi Uncle Michael, then he will open the door for me, I sit down. The moment I sit down, then we'll pray, then we'll straight away we'll go into the Bible study. Then he is very considerate one. He say, you better finish fast already, because wait Auntie Fatima come. You know Auntie Fatima? The traffic warden. Alright, so he scanned my parking coupon delay. And so he would ask. So we went on this for about 4 to 6 weeks, but somehow there's no connection, meaning that I'm teaching him, and he's very, very grateful. When he prays, he says, thank you for this, Brother Johnny, who teach me so much, and I learned so many things. And so it's like, it's not me teaching the Holy Spirit, but no, he's very grateful, you know. Sometimes he'll cook things and give to me, and then there was one time he was very practical. He gave me a gift, and I thought, what was it? You know, wrap up in newspaper, and then it was actually parking coupon. So how practical can you get? Really, I mean, so it was a blessing. But you know, this week when I went to him, I was kind of, Lord, I need to connect with him. I need to kind of connect with him. And so at the end, we actually had about 15-20 minute lesson, and it was very fast. Then it was finished already. Then I asked him, do you have any questions? You know, we finished the first part of DITW already. Do you have any questions? Then I say, yeah, actually, very puzzled, very confused with one thing. He talked about baptism. And he says, I'm baptized already, but, you know, if I follow this Jesus, I also follow Jesus for 70 years. Well, I think he's a bit confused about that. But then I follow the Jesus of the Bible, which is what we want him to do. So, but then, can you explain to me, So I went through in Acts. So I asked him, what do you need to do before you get baptized? I turn into Acts chapter 2. So in Acts chapter 2, what does the Bible say? In Acts chapter 2, verse 37-38, the people will prick in their hearts, and then they say, men and brethren, what shall we do? So what do people say? Repent and be baptized. Okay? So I explained to, then I asked him, what did they do before they get baptized? He said, repent. What's repentance? Because we learn repentance. Alright? And repent means you change your mind about sin and believe in Jesus. You say, oh. So, very interesting, he says. After I explained that, I actually explained true Christianity coming from the time of Jesus and also when the Catholic Church started. Then he said, these are the true Jesus Church. Okay? And then after that, you know when the Roman Catholic Church started AD 313, then he said, this one is the true one. Then after that, they come, the disciples come, then they anyhow mix, right? Then all the change, correct? That's how he explained. So, so in the end, then after that, I turn it to Acts chapter 8. You know, Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopian eunuch, I don't remember. And I say, let's turn there, right? This is very interesting. Acts chapter 8, I think we all know, but that was how I shared with him in verse 36. And I had to actually read verse by verse, word by word with him. And there, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? I actually paraphrase it. I told him, Ethiopian eunuch just basically asked, what is stopping me from getting baptized? Okay? Then in verse 37, he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. It's interesting because what Uncle Michael did was, he said, you must believe first, right? Then I saw that it connected with him. Oh, that means my mother bring me to baptize, it's not my wish one. That's how he put it. Okay? Then I asked, so I keep reinforcing, what do you need to do before you got baptized? Then I said, he didn't know the answer. So I pointed to verse 37. You must believe all your heart lah. Then he kept looking and he said, that means it's not my wish to be baptized one. But now it's real one. It's real one. Because the Bible says it's real one. Then he began to explain, actually my priest never tell me all these things, so I don't know. So I just follow lah. So for me, as I was thanking God in my heart, that through God's word, God is actually changing his heart. And you know, it's very cute because you say, you know, I follow this Roman Catholic for 7 years, you must give me some time. What I saw in the... when you know Uncle Michael for a while, you realize that what he says, what you get. But you know, for the first time in his life, he even told me, last time you tell me Jesus, I say stop one. But now, after God do something, I really believe, then I must believe the Bible. And I could see repentance of how he began to... He said, you must give me some time. I said, never mind, you take your time. I've waited 6 weeks already for this to happen. And God is slowly working. And you know what? He has read in 6 weeks, Genesis to Psalms 53. How many of you have done that? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, what else? Joshua, Judges. That's more than 10 to 15 books in 6 weeks. We don't even read one book in 6 months. Sometimes. But you know what? He's been reading and reading and know what? What I'm saying is God is adding. And I'm looking forward to baptizing him. And this is someone whom when you teach, he is also... It was very, very interesting because the moment I asked him about what do you have to do after you become a Christian? Actually, my answer was to be baptized. But he said, I must be witness, I must tell other people. You know, because we touched on Acts chapter 1 earlier. I said, yeah, that's correct. And what else? You know? But you know, in my heart, I was rejoicing because what I'm saying is that God has touched this 70-year-old man full of Roman Catholic. He is a staunch... He will do charity work by giving food and money to missionaries, Christian missionaries like Pastor Manning, for those who know. He will never step into a Baptist church. But over the last 6 weeks, God has so opened his heart. And as I said, he welcomes me and he gives me drinks. You know what drinks he gave me? Always H2O. He believes H2O is the best for people. And so H2O, and it's not cold. And so you know how it feels like it's not cold. But you know what? It's such a blessing. You know, my mom trusted Christ. I know I said 1997, but I actually prayed with her again just to reaffirm her salvation. And then for Brother Mike, it was Michael Teo. She also trusted Christ a few weeks ago. And now we're doing Bible study. And I could see that God is changing his mind and his heart. You know what? We're still waiting for the promise of the Father to fulfill 1,000. But you know what? We need to keep on praying, keep on working. We need to be steadfast. Okay, we need to be steadfast, having one purpose. What's that purpose? To reach these people for Christ, baptize them, get them saved, baptize them, and get them to join the church. Because the goal is not, like I say again, not a big church, but a safe church, a church that will love Jesus, a church that in the end, and say, Lord, we've done our best. This is the fruit of our labor for you. You know, there are many, many more. Many more. The Toriano family. I was speaking to Brother Robert Roro, was saying that they are planning to join us in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Okay, of course, they have to have transport membership and all that. But you know, God is good. I believe with all my heart. We prayed specifically also not only for souls to be saved, but we're also praying for God to send workers. We're praying for God to send workers. And Toriano, Brother June is a preacher. There are actually three preachers in Shalom Filipino service, so he's one of them. And so even if he leaves, there's two more. So we thank God that God is actually shifting one family over here so that they can help us. Alright? And we have Gideon, we have quite a number of... if Sister Alina gets the job, our children's ministry will be beefed up already because she works with children in the Philippines. She's very good with children as well. So God is doing things. I told God, we need workers for the 1,000 souls. Lord, we're already so stretched, we need more. And God is actually sending. I don't know, I hope we can actually see that God is actually fulfilling what we are, our hearts are so longing for. You know, every prayer meeting, we need to have that heart. And what the early church had, they were focused in their goal. God, help us to reach that goal for you. Oh yeah, we all have our duties. We all have our lives and our families to lead. But you know what? Above that, we need to live and say, God, life is not just about taking care of my family. Oh yeah, we take, do a good job here. But God, there are something else that you want us to do. Okay, we need to be focused there. So the church in prayer will focus, okay? And finally, in Acts 1:14, notice one thing. They all continued with one accord. The word one accord in the Greek simply means unanimous. Everyone had a one goal. When they were there praying, they wanted the promise of the Father. They all wanted God's promise to be fulfilled in them. And so when they were there, they only had one point. God, you ask us to wait for the promise of the Father so we can have your power. God, we're all here for one purpose and one purpose alone. For you to bless us with the Holy Spirit power. And God has already given that church in the book of Acts. God is giving us the power right now to pray and to be focused for the 180,000 that God has to supply. And also for the 1,000 souls that God will. I'm not too sure whether it's 5 years, but you know what? We need to keep moving forwards. And I believe that if we can... One of the things I challenged the men in the men's meeting was all the men leaders need to be discipling someone. Getting someone safe, baptizing them, and then walking with them. And you know what? The joy is that if you just take one for 1 year, would have doubled already. And you know what? Literally within 5 years, we will hit... if you do the exponential thing, within 5 years, we can actually hit 1,000 souls. Okay? But you know what? The whole church was unanimous. They were unanimous in prayer. Because the Bible says, this all continued with one accord in prayer. We not only need to be united in what we do, what we believe, but we need to be united in prayer. A church can be united in service, but it's more important that we are united in prayer. You know why? In service is a physical thing. The devil can come in and disrupt because we need to fight him spiritually. And that's where we need to pray. Alright? And so, as we close this very quickly, they were obedient to the Lord's word. All the church leaders were there in the early church prayer meeting. They all continued with purpose and steadfastly, and they were all unanimous in their goal and steadfastness. And guess what happened? Acts chapter 2 verse 41. What happened as they were focused on asking for God's power? What happened? The Bible says in one day, God sent them not only the Holy Spirit, but 3,000 souls got saved. About 3,000 souls trusted Christ. We're only asking for 1,000. But you know what? We need to move. Alright? Any questions as we close? Before we have some time in prayer, can I challenge us with this? That may God help us to be one, not only one in one place. You know, our hearts must be one. We, as it were right now, we only have one church family unless God calls us somewhere else. You know what we need to do? Just put our whole heart into that family God has given to us. We pray. Let God use us. I mean, it's time for God to move us. God will move us, but if not, let's be faithful. There's one thing that I've learned from one evangelist. He says, a lot of us will say, I'll go where you want us to go, dear Lord. But sometimes we need to pray, I'll stay where you want me to stay, dear Lord. That we just stay put where God wants us to be and just do the work for Him. Alright? Any questions as we close? Okay, let's take some prayer requests, alright, before we pray.